Wirkt der Heilige Herr auch
Auf seinem Alles, Gemein, Rishami, Perashishi, Halacha, Gimel. Die Frau, die Kibel, die Kohen und die Levi, haben eine Astrot, die Baalim. In this case, even though we had a Machlokas before, about a Kohen and Levi being the Kabel and Yisrael was the Kabel from an owner, was the Kohen and Levi. There it's understood that certainly, since it's his field, he was Mishayer in the field, and that shiur allows him, the owner, the rishus, to take the masrut. Remember, we said as long as you had a full baalut in something, you can always be mishayer from your baalut to be mezaking you in something. From here, everybody is mother. Rabbi Yishmael takes this one step further. He says, "Hakar panim shekibel sadeh miyushalmi." Somebody who lives in a little town. Or outside of Yerushalayim. He was Makabal Aseda from somebody who lives in Yerushalayim. It's also assumed that the Maisa Sheni goes to the Yerushalmi, because there too. Since he was Makabal Aseda from a guy who eats Maisa Sheni as a matter of course, because he lives in Yerushalayim, it's no problem for him. That's no different than being Makabal from a Kohen Velevi who will eat Truma and Isis as a matter of course. In the same way that it's understood that he's Mashiach from Subtrum as a Maisa if he's a Kohen Velevi, respectively, so too it's assumed that somebody is a Yerushalmi, is Mashiach for himself, for Maisa Sheni, and this other guy doesn't have a right to any of the Maisa Sheni.
Whereas
it's taken for granted that he has became the Swiss in the Karaka for the Maisa. The Chachamim said, well, I understand what's the comparison. Yocholu akarkani la'alot lo klo di Yerushalayim. There's no comparison at all. The Kohen and the Levi are the only ones that can eat from the Maisa. But over here, anybody can eat Maisa Sheni, all he has to do is go up to Yerushalayim to eat it. So why would that mean that he wanted to give all of the Maisa Sheni to the owner? How back to Rabbi Shmuel? I don't understand. What in fact is Rabbi Shmuel saying? Let's say a Kohen is coming, right? And now he's a Shutta for the Kohen who stole it. So what are you going to say? That since he's coming, ain't Kohen the Maisa? Because I'm coming. And you'll say, obviously, since he can go be the tire himself, so it's no different. If you're doing the Maisa Sheni, fine, he's not in Yerushalayim now, but if he could go to Yerushalayim, so go to Yerushalayim. Right? I mean, it doesn't seem to make any more sense than that. Sheni and Hokin for Maisa, where you say over there that he wouldn't be fair with the Kohen for Maisa. There's a difference, because there, the Kohen, even when he's coming, still has a foot to take him to him. But you can't eat it, because there's a problem. Fine, so he'll sell it. But it's his truma, so it's his truma. We give truma to a Kohen Tamei too. Yeah, so he'll sell it to another Kohen and get the money. I mean, that's the point. He has a schutz right now. Somebody who's outside of Yerushalayim, you don't say, Hakar should say, Sorry, Hakar Tani, La Lord Velachov, Yerushalayim. Over here, he doesn't have any schutz right now. He has to go eat it in Yerushalayim. So the Yerushalayim kind of said, it's assumed that if for somebody, it's convenient, it's the norm for him to eat, but for the other, it's a whole pure, it's the ale of the Yerushalayim to eat it, but that also means that for all intents and purposes, he never intended that it should go out of his reshus from my fishing. On the Kabel Zeitim L'Shemen, for you we have, up until now we were talking about cases, all of the Mishnah right until now, where we were dealing with Kabbalah of fields. And over there we understood that the Shiur work in terms of karaka, and the zechut for the trumas and maizes in the case where the makabel was the one who was being zochut was, as the Gemara said, it's as if he set them go and be zochut the karaka in order to be kind of the maizes. I'm going to give you a zechut in the karaka also for the maizes, right? But here we switch to metalism. So over here the case is that a guy he makes a deal to, which is very common, it's essentially a sharecropping, so to speak, in oil. In other words, I give you my zeitim, you go ahead and you press the zeitim, and you take a percentage of the oil, and that's it's like a sharing deal like you would make on the karka, except over here, you can't be mishayim in the karka. So now, if you have a, just like we had in the first Mishnah that was dealing with the din of the karka, that you have to be chaylik of the trubis of maizim. So here it is, v'shem shechokin v'cholim, kach chokin v'trumah. And we make no distinction over here whether the owner is a Yisrael, the owner is a Kohen. Because over there, where we had before, in the case with the karka, with the owner, with the kohen, there we say that he's reshayer in the karka. But over here, with his reshayer in the karka, so it's just, he gave him over the olives. There we would say that it's the same as if you were a Yisro. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yisrael, Shekibel, Mikoyin, Melezi, Stacey, Mashanan, Lamaskis, Karak, he says, Amaisis, Labav. And Yehuda says, even in this case, where you're dealing with Metzalton, if the Melezi, whether you're going in a lazy, is Mashiach in the original olives as well, in order for him to be Zoka in the Kumas and Mice. Says the Gemara, okay, so notice what you're saying is, you don't have a taste in Kikarka, Rabban in law have a taste in Kikarka. So that he holds that, that the person is Mashiach in the Talmud as well, but Rabban in holds not. But we didn't go to the other extreme, and the other extreme is Rabbi Eliezer has been. Where Rabbi Eliezer was talking about where the Mekabel was a Kohen Halevi. And he wanted to find out that even where the Mekabel is a Kohen Halevi, he also gets a right to the Zaytan. It's like, not the Zaytan, but the Karka, the owner, that's all them. You'll be Zolta in the Karka in order to be Zolta for the Shulman Zanaytan. So the Chacham argued there. But that's not a bit of Shira. That's already in giving over the right to be trained. So if Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Eliezer also, the Gabi, the din of the Kabbal being a Kohen Halevi. Of course, Rabbi Eliezer wasn't talking about the case of 18. What we want to know is how far we would take this din. In other words, would we say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, assuming that he would agree with this idea here, that it's also possible to have a Shira in the top of it, would he go so far as to say that in the other direction, even if the Kohen Halevi were the Makabo, that it would be the same as the Meisen, giving a right to the Kena in the Zaysen, connected the Trumas and Meisen. And that's already taking it very far. So in his born of Yudhis Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer holds even in the case where the Makabo is occurring, that Amasro Shalem Sha'amanat came Bo. So in other words, so in this case, that the Kohen Halevi Shekiblu Sodom Yisrael, Amasro Shalem Sha'amanat came Bo, I personally suspect, I don't see anybody who says it, but I personally suspect that there's a mistake in the Gemara here, and that it should say that in this case it shouldn't say Sada, but Zaysen. So because it's an extension, this is a text, it's repeating what Rabbi Eliezer says. And what it really means is, would he say it even in this case where it's Zaysen? So it's very funny that it says it in this fashion. It's mamish repetition.
And he says
Sodeh. That's what we're talking about. Right. Now, Paratosho Kohen, another case which is similar to this where we have a mitzvah, is where someone gives, a Kohen owns a Porah, he gives a Porah as a Shuma Eitzel Yisrael. Now, a Shuma means that he makes a deal in which here's what it's evaluated at. That evaluation we are partners in. So in other words, okay, right now we have an evaluation of $1,000 for the para. Now that means if anything happens to it, I expect that we're going to share in profits and losses. If the para itself is worth more, we're going to split. If it's worth less, we're going to split. In the vladot, we're also going to split. Now it has a bechor. The older bechor. What's the good of the bechor? So it says Rabbi Yehuda, HaBukhar LaKohen. In this case, it's no different than the Zaytin. And he retains the right for whatever part is supposed to go to the Kohen. Because Chamim Amrin, Ein HaBukhar Ela L'Shneihem. No. It goes to both of them. Tainas Rabbi Yehuda, I don't understand. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Yat Emozimli B'Masrof, Min Sadeu, Shehu Shalom. I thought we were all agreed before that in a case where Kohen owns a set, he gives it to a sharecropper, but the din is that the mitzvahs are entirely the Kohen's. Why is this different than that case? Hamulo. Look at Branson. You say, Shasadeh gufala Kohen, Rapara gufala Shneihem. The whole point of Shuma is that it isn't really a sharecropping relationship. Because in a case where your real sharecropper changes the value of the field, that has nothing to do with it. The owner is the owner of the field. They're only talking about sharing in the crops. But over here, when you make a shuma, the point of a shuma is that you're taking mutual responsibility for the value of the parah. Otherwise, what's the point of making a shuma? So the idea is that we're going to also assume that you are an akhra'i. If you're an akhra'i, you're like a bialin. Somebody who's akhra'i even for onasim, changes in market values, being hit by lightning, and so on, is essentially a bialin, right? So that's what the shuma means. So we agree. If the parah belongs to the kohen, and there was no shuma, and a parah is given to a ro'eh, with the understanding that the ro'eh will be paid in 20% of the gvoros, for instance. So over there, of course, we agree that the parah goes to the kohen. That's because the whole parah is the kohen. But over here, that's not the case. It's the case of shuma. The tony came. Hashem, b'achrayut shneihem. That's what it says. The point of shuma is that both take responsibility. V'asocher should say b'achrayut hanotein. That's the case of tzchirot. That's a different issue. But we're not talking about tzchirot. We're talking about shuma.
Isn't there that if it's two sources
of the
chor, then it's not a
chor? That's a goy, you mean? It's a goy, yeah. We're not talking about it. Kohen shenatan ma'ot liYisrael, v'kach lo b'hem peirot l'machtzit tzachar. Amar lo hotiro otichato shali v'amasrot shalcha. Now this is really not a chiddush, this first part, because we're only leading up to where we get into the problem. Over here the case is, the Kohen, he gives money to a Yisrael. He says, okay, we'll split the business together. You're going to get payout. We'll split the profits. And he makes a deal with him. He says, look, you know what? You, Yisrael, you keep the money, which otherwise would have gone to me. If there's any hotiro pikatu, profit, I will take those profits. You take the mic. That'll be your sakhar. That's what. Why not? I mean, you know, you can deal with the mic. But that's okay. As long as in other words, I'm not getting maestros here in any way that I was meant to have the maestros.
Yeah, balancing it again some of the profit that you will
pay. But it's my thing. I can give it to you. I can do whatever I want with it. I can sell you my Jerusha. That's not a problem. So I can trade. There's no kiddush in this case. There's no element of koinim sayev, beit avranot, or chilul. We'll see. We'll get the case. What's the problem? And here's where it becomes a problem. Yisrael shenatan ma'ot ha-kohen, especially the Yisrael gives money to the kohen, the kach lo b'hem peirot l'machzit. He's got to make a deal with the prophet. And he says, hotiro pichato sheli v'amatzot shelcha. Now here, what he's doing is he's saying, you know, I'm going to give you all the ma'isa. I'll make a little bit of a deal. On condition that you give me all of the profit. Oh. So now, that's a problem, because now he is essentially working for Meister. Working for Meister is going to say, everybody said, no, he can't do that. So if the guy is paying him anyway separately, so even though it's in Los Tocaro Mutar, if he's being paid, so then it's not just being paid out of the Meister. So, that's not a problem. But in love, otherwise it looks like it's going to say, yeah. Yisrael Shayim Mokhez 18 B'Shishim Luk Tvunim. How about it? Here's an interesting case. The guy is sells the basin. So he's got a warehouse full of basin. He says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to sell you 18 for 60 lug of shemen, including the tel. One of the akrayut for the Truma Tameis is not on you, it's on me. Come along now, Kohen. He says, listen, I'll do you a better deal. Instead of selling it to that guy for 60 lug tefillin, I'm going to sell it to you. I'm going to buy it from you for 60 lug that are mukshirim, tukanim. Because for me, that's not I'm going anyway. So I'll take off Trumas and Mises. I'll give the Trumas and Mises myself, and I'll give you several. I mean, I'll give you the tukan. So you're saving yourself a heck of a lot of money here, almost 20%, right? I'll take care of everything here. So, over there, What would be the problem? the Chorah, it's okay. He's not doing anything wrong. Right? For him, it's a good deal. He's not getting Trumas and Maisas because of it. So there should be no problem with such a case. However, and this is a crazy thing now, if he says to him that I'll split with you the Trumas and Maisas. So he says, I'll give you Shishim Lutzulim, Vani Ba'at Chokinat HaMasrot Asur. What? Kadu Yoiv like Kulei Mutar? Kadu Yoiv like Palga Asur? What are you talking about? If I'm going to take on myself all the Trumas and Maisas, then it's okay. But if I take on myself only half the Trumas and Maisas, then it's not okay? That's impossible. The case doesn't make any sense at all. Right? What possible history would there be now? Rabbi Yosef, obviously you're meant to understand that there's something behind the scenes over here. Khan b'marviyakolo. What he's talking about over here is that if I'm just buying a better deal by giving you mitukan, then it's kosher. But if I am buying extra time and utilizing that extra time now in return for what I'm paying, you know, I'm going to give you now a better deal because you're going to give me another 3 months to pay, let's say. So I say to you, how about if you give me 3 months to pay instead of 30 days, and I give you half of the Trumas and Maisas. What do you say about that? Right? So over there, you're running into a rigid problem, right? So there's like, even if it's only half, that's also la mishum ribit, because he's giving the mechza mitukan over here only in order that the guy should give him the extra time.
Is
those times that's what ribit is. Ribit is, if you're allowing me to keep money, I pay you for the money.
Allowing me to keep the money for more time.
I'll pay you for the use of that money.
I'm compensating for that.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm paying you with Trumas and Maisas. Right? And here it does involve also a bizonian question. Because over here it looks like he's buying directly, not only the ribbit, he's buying the ribbit with Trumas and Maisas. So over there it involves also a bizonian question. Because then it's as if he's being made to the nation directly with money of Maisas. Not that we set up the deal originally in a way in which I am Marviyah for Maisas. That's a separate issue. Well, here I'm going directly to make a purchase, so to speak, a purchase of money in exchange for Truma or for Maisa. That's what he's going in a pitch. Beit Shammai omen, lo yimkor adam et beitav elo l'chaver. Beit Shammai says a person should not sell olives, even though they are not yet mukshar l'kabel Truma, because an olive will only be l'kabel Truma after it's put into the mitzayim, which is a container which is kept for a while until it softens and starts getting damp with mu'al, which yotzei from the oil. So it's not quite oil, it's mu'al, it's called. And it's like a damp, mixed, watery kind of oil. But that's mashal l'kabel tuna. Over here wasn't mashal l'kabel tuna yet. Nonetheless, Beit Shammai, the guy has to be a chaver, because we look at it as a chaver here in the sense of Tyrus, remember, not to Neman. The Mishnah's been using Neman for Meiser, and chaver for Tuma, and this is being marked in Tuma and Tyrus. So here he's saying the guy has to be a chaver with Eisen the Tyrus, because since the norm is that somebody who's working with Zaytim is going to be working with those Zaytim when they're Mukshal Kaba Tuma, and that's the whole point. You're going to be squeezing them and you're going to be pressing them. So therefore, you mustn't give it to somebody who's going to be Matami, because also they're going to Melechu and Meret Yisroel. Beit Hillel means Afma Maaseh. Until we'll see Beit Hillel's reasoning in the Gemara, there's no problem over here. You can sell it even who was a Neman for Maaseh, even though he's not a Chodesh. Utsnuei Beit Hillel, you know, I need to be very Beit Shammai, of course, Utsnuim. And we'll see the Gemara what's going on later, because the people are very mocked and they're not welcome to them. They were made personally like they said, well, that's not so to anybody but a chavur is not going to come to the Maisas. Omer of Yochanan, time to say, well, you know what Beit Hillel's reasoning is? Derech bnei adam l'achol zeteyem atunim. Because, look, there's lots of people who eat olives out of the Mitzayim before they get damp. Says the Gemara, what? וכי דרך בני אדם לחוד, this is the gross teaching of the Gemara. וכי דרך בני אדם לחוד, זה שהם עצמים? What are you talking about? Nobody does that. It's disgusting. How many people need a diet out of the time? No, point is, Ella Ayyadei Ila. We're looking for an excuse, basically. And Beit Hillel, as we'll show you, is the shita that holds of finding excuses. So if we could find any basis to be mati or something, so we could say, well, okay, fine, but you know, you never know for sure that he's going to actually be pressing these zaysim. I mean, maybe he's just going to be eating these zaysim like popcorn. But maybe. I mean, there are people who might. Right? So they feel always, if you have any basis to rely on in these takanas, agave, chavirus, and ne'amonas, let's rely on this, and I'll show you that this is based on the Shita. This is based on the Kibbutz. This is Hanina. We also have another similar issue in the Mishnah of Lo Yimkolo Tarach or Reshet B'Shviyitu Beit Hillel Matirin. Because of Rebbe, it's not as market to sell a Torah that is Choreshet. It's been used for working in the field. We normally ask for selling implements to people who are not Nem on Shemitah. And a par is an implement. It's an implement for plowing. But Phil says, no, look at why. Maybe I'll check the par. No? I mean, come on. Look at the Barnash. Myth is true today. I mean, we know perfectly well that these are paras that are being used for plowing. You're telling me that a guy's going to spend money on that kind of animal and he's going to go check to eat it? You know, of course that's not what's going to happen. Fine. But I didn't even laugh. It's possible. Maybe the guy inside the shakta. The same thing is true over here. Even though it's not very reasonable that someone is buying olives in order to eat them like popcorn, but it's an ima, and that's sufficient to leave it available. Mishavim, Shumokalo Shibalim, so everybody has known that you can sell Shibalim, because the fact is, even though you'll say, I mean, come on, how many people are going to be eating wheat as puffed wheat? They're going to be eating it, they're going to be grinding, they're going to be making your flour out of it, making bread out of it, it'll be wet, it'll be metami to yeast and so on. It doesn't matter. Over there, Beshama is also loaded, because that's already, that's not an unusual thing to say that, I mean, people do use wheat for different things. You can use wheat to grind and make flour. You can use wheat to eat it as popcorn, and as popped wheat, which was common. So over there, Beshama is also loaded. Tony, Shabin, Shein, Mokin, Gadisha, Chitin, Va'avicho, Amavin, Uma'atin, Shabin, Elo Lechaber. Everybody's loaded, even Beit Hillel, that once something is moksha l'kabel tuna, so chitim were already put into a gadish that has gotten wet, and an avit shel anavim, well over there it's already leaking, a ma'aten shel zeitim here means that's already been sitting there for a while. There you can only sell to a chaver, but mishio there shel sell to a betara. Now, hold on a second over here. Avit shel anavim, there's no question whatsoever then an avit shel anavim is definitely midirayis and moksha l'kabel tuma. To be a shayla of a guy named Mu'al Hayotzim Nazeti. But certainly, when it comes to anavim, that's Dvar Torah. If it's Dvar Torah, then the implications are that the ma'aten shel zeitim are also Dvar Torah. Otherwise, I mean, why do we have to even mention it? If you tell me even a ma'aten shel zeitim, which is only drabon in moksha, then you can only sell to a chaver to kochken the avit shel anavim. So it must mean that we're dealing over here with three cases of a deraisa. Now, isn't that a problem? Let's not apologize to Rabbi Yochanan. Doesn't that argue on Rabbi Yochanan's shita? Rabbi Yochanan, the kashem sha'amru katan chumrin kachnu ma'atin shazikin chumrin. By the way, same way we have the law of Rabbi Yochanan, that if you find a katan bitsada isa. So over there, Lamaisa, we have it ought to be a case of Dover Shainbo Dat Bishael. And the Vinus of Suffolk Tumna Dover Shainbo Dat Bishael is Sahar. Okay, we're Machmir on the Krotan, and we say, Mitesh Dakish or Krotan and so on, that he's going to have, that he's going to be Nagir and things, if he has something coming, even if that's not Nagir. Alright, that's a Khumrah. That's a Vyosa, but you should know, the same way that that's a Khumrah, so too is the Din of the Ma'atensho Zekim. Is Makabal Tumah, at least that's what we thought it meant. So too, that it's moksha lekabel tuma, that mu'al, ayotim, nazesim, or metame, that's not of your right, because mu'al is only zeya the alma, it's not really considered to be shemen, and therefore it's not really metame. But if that's your biyokan and shita, so how does your biyokan understand now this brightness? That says, my potential they came together with Abhijavana, what would be the point of mentioning? Once you're telling me the Rabbana, of course, can be right. Everybody's mother, the Abhijavana, is not considered to be Isaiah Biyama. So, don't we have a problem with you? The Chisyama, Chisyama is what? Rabbiona explained this, that he explained it to Shem Rabbiona. He said, the shot is not to the Machlokas whether a particular Zayat that had already gotten on it some of its mu'al, that's definitely murder that we got the actual kapha tuma that's a derive. Now what's what Rabbi Yochanan was saying? What they were arguing about, Rabbi Yochanan was saying, was a chumrah ma'pligin b'chiburin. The question over here was whether tuma b'chiburin is moksha. So what happened over here is that not all of the olives were dense. Let's give her a few olives on top that now have been moksha. The other olives have softened. So lamaisa, they're touching, they're ma'uch, they're crushed one and the other. But if I pick up one of these olives, it doesn't pull another olive along with it. And it's not that they've been crushed together in any way. So now the shaila is like this. What Rabbi Yochanan was saying is, v'shebachol makom nashuch chibur. Usually we say, midvar tera, this is where Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's only a chum. Midvar tera, only something which is mushed together. So you pick up one, it always pulls nashuch, it bites into the next one. It'll pull off a piece of the next one also. That's considered to be a chibur. But if it's only ma'uch, it's not considered to be a chibur. The hakha, my thinking over here, by the din of zeitin, afilu ma'uch chibur. Even though it's only ma'uch, it's also considered to be the whole thing, because it was damp on top, the whole thing is considered to be one chibur legabi tuma, not heksha, legabi moksha legabi tuma. And not legabi moksha legabi tuma, legabi tuma itself. So now tuma touches the top, right? Now all of these didn't touch the tuma. Normally they would be considered one body, only legabi nishika.
The bottom is not wet.
The bottom is wet, but it didn't touch the tuma. And it's not as if the dance goes through the whole thing. Each one is separately moksha, but it's not that you're touching mamish mashka that goes through the whole thing. So over here, it's midvar tera. It's not considered to be mechuber, but the chumrah is mechuber. That's all he meant to say. But in terms of the din of mu'al, I guess, in the nation, to be mashka, kabotum, that's midvar tera. I'm not arguing on that. So claim Rabbi Yonah, b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, that's what Rabbi Yochanan would have said. Now, come Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yirmiyah, and what happened is that he finds now Rabbi Yirmiyah. And Amar lo, at Amar hada milta, did you actually say this thing? In other words, that I heard it, but I want to know whether you actually said it. And he said, well, I'll tell you the truth. Even if you asked me, I would say that my own personal opinion is that it's a chumrah even legabi hashra kabo tuma. Of course, we'll have a problem with our rice, which we'll talk about in a minute. And it's a very creative answer, but I don't think that's the pshat, really. I think the pshat is that it's a question of noshach versus mo'al. I think that's a real question of whether mo'alization is ma'ashal kabbalatum in the halal. And as far as the question is concerned, v'atani shavi she'im mo'achim kadir shachitim v'avish ranavim v'ma'atim shachitim elo l'chavar v'amish yadeh shu'esef from the Torah. And I know what you asked. You asked, so, isn't an avish ranavim Torahi? In which case, what would be the point of mentioning it separately? Unless on the ta'im, a ma'atim letter of zeitim is also Torahi. So what do I do with that? Mike is on. What are you going to do with that? I'm not done with that. He felt like a remayor. That's not a problem to me. That I learned is going to a remayor. Of course, the remayor. Rabbi Yochanan is going a little bit of Rabbanan. Rabbanan don't hold that mu'al is kamasha. And they're saying that, and he was saying, even though they don't hold that Mu'alit Kimash, Kimidi Raisa, there might have Chumarim, there might have that Minarambon and Yasri Masne, that's all. But I don't have a problem with another Raisa going to leave the Rabbi Meir. And that ain't nothing happening according to Rabbi Meir. It certainly looks like opportunity Raisa. Obviously, Zaira, the truth is that time of the Chamai is Ein Derech Aver Liot Mocher Zaitim. What he's saying, that when Beit Shammai said, Lo Yimkor, Ela Lechaver, and not the son of the Maaser, is because he just wants you to know that the reason that we call him a Chaver is because if he's a Chaver, he's including Maaser. In other words, when he's saying, Ulanema, it's a little bit strange, because it says, either to a Chaver or to someone who is Nema to make it the tyrant. And that's what a Chaver is. He's saying that the reason that we don't mention Maaser here is goofy to bring out the fact that someone who is Nema on the tyrant, we're taking for granted that he's going to be Nema in terms of Maaser. The word that Tnui that you use, what does that mean that it's Tnui? Mao Tnui, Kshiri. Those people that are kosher, the medactic in the mitzvah. From here you see, and then the use of the word in the way it's used in this Mishnah, is that someone who is kosher is defined as tzanua, as a person who is reserved. So, because in order to define that you won't be marked on such a thing, you have to be aggressive. There's a certain element of aggressiveness that is saying that, well, I'm not going to be chayshish for such a thing, because I don't have to.
That's aggressive?
No, that's aggressive. Because it's putting yourself out in front of saying, I'm going to stick with this opinion. Somebody who senses themselves, remember, tzniyas is essentially an awareness of vulnerability. There's an element of busha in tzniyas, right? I am more bush. The more vulnerable I feel myself, the more I want to protect myself that I shouldn't come to be over on anything. So, I'll be more medactic. But what this means is a very important nakudah that the Gemara is bringing out here, a beautiful nakudah, that the din, somebody who's being masner, is called a kosher only where the basis of the chumrah is tzniyas. But where the basis of the chumrah is aggression, then he's not called a kosher. Now, let's say he wants to be machmir because he wants to be holier than that. Or he wants to be machmir because I find everything that could be done and I need to be more machmir. That's not called a tenuah and the male is not called a kosher. That's the point. That's fantastic insight. He's saying this is goof of what the mission is coming to teach us. That the mocker of someone who wants to be machmir has to be tzniyas. Which of the male by definition means he'll never be assertive with it over anybody else. The moment that he's assertive over somebody else, he's not a tenuah. So we don't call him a kosher.
So the self-protection and
the... He's worried about his own home. Who am I to decide that I have a right to be saying that something like this? I don't know. You know, what do I know about anything? But because of that, I'm certainly not going to come telling somebody, you're not properly marked, right? But it comes out to define a whole state of being of one who wants to be marked. Where are we up to over here? I feel we're sort of down to the bottom here in terms of participants. I think if we did a doc, maybe we should. We'll wait till everybody shows up for a little bit tomorrow. I mean, I was such a shock of day today.